Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We hope that everybody has garnered a little bit from going through the Missouri Compromise, and now we're going through the Monroe Doctrine. What we want to do, because the Monroe Doctrine lays the foundation for, I believe, what came to be the manifest destiny. And we'll get into the kind of the overview of that, because today it has become the common scrutiny of the left. I'll use that word. It's become the common scrutiny of the left to go after those types of things because it points to what they assert is white privilege. And so the fact of the matter is the culture that has developed every nation. So if you go back into ancient China, there were dynasties, there were families that ended up taking dominance, and they're the ones that developed China. Now, you could call it dynasty privilege, or you could call it Chinese privilege, because if you go to China as whatever racial background you are and try to become competitive and successful, well, you're going to have a bunch of barriers to be able to become successful. And that's because of Chinese privilege, right? And if you go to Japan, you'll probably have this huge wall of Japanese privilege. What about going to Germany and German privilege? Or South Africa, or actually South Africa, we just talked about that the other night. It's right now black privilege because it's the blacks are taking full control. And they are ruling with an iron fist. But the point is that whatever the culture is that has developed the nation, then they're the ones that will be, and according to social justice warriors, they're the ones that should be labeled as the privileged of that culture, nation, and society. You know, white privilege doesn't just exist here in America. But it doesn't really exist at all. What exists is a paradigm of avarice and a paradigm of jealousy, one of such that basically gets people to surrender to the concept that they're incapable of overcoming this. So we have to demand that we dismantle this so that we can all succeed, which is a bunch of crap. The most important thing the most important framework that exists within a country is its laws and its culture. And so the most important thing in America is our Constitution, because it is the framework of our laws. And I defy anybody to prove to me that our Constitution gave anybody any edge or advantage other than the fact that they failed to make slavery, or actually failed to end slavery. They failed to make slavery maybe a federal issue. But if you understand why they wanted to keep as much as they possibly could out of the federal's hands, because if it's in their hands, then they can start using that as a mechanism of power. And that's where they become more and more dangerous. The framers wanted to make sure that the central government that they were creating was limited and defined. Now, there's no doubt in my mind, the political compromise that occurred during the Constitutional Convention, Continental Congress, the political compromise that occurred in the Constitutional Convention, sorry, my tongue is a little tied right now, And there's a frog will be following. Anyway, the fact of the matter is that that compromise lacked faith. And I think that those men who succumbed to putting the Union above everything else, above principle, lacked faith, because clearly the divine hand of providence had manifested itself throughout every course and stage of America's development. And when they made this compromise, there was no doubt in my mind that they had and lacked absolute faith that the Lord would have made sure that the Union would have come together. And I truly believe that Georgia and the Carolinas, and I truly believe that had Spain found out that they were basically being, you know, shunned, or actually they walked away from the Constitutional Convention and were not a part of this new Union, that I believe Spain, France, and or at least Britain would have started harassing them and trying to bring them in and saying, if you guys come in, and it would have caused another conflict. And what would have ended up happening was these three states, Georgia and the Carolinas, would have been ground zero for the next battle, instead of allowing it to proliferate throughout the United States for the Civil War. And instead of it just being family against family, it would be Americans against whatever you want to call these foreign supporting actors in trying to help, you know, Georgia and so forth. You know, the interesting thing, and most people don't even realize, that Georgia was a penal colony, or I should say a colony that was based upon the early release of prisoners, which is why the land grants were given to most people, because of their origins of prison and committing crimes, they were only granted 10 acres. And the reason that they did it this way is because they wanted to have a denser population to protect the northern colonies from Spain, who was to the south. Because if they had a denser population, then they would absorb and be able to repel any kind of invasion from Spain. It was a strategic colony. But bottom line, I mean, it's still at the very base and end of these three states. There is no doubt in my mind, had these men had the faith and the resolve in ending slavery, America would be in a much different position, but it didn't. And so America lost. It was its most grievous and most bloody battle it has ever faced. It was, and as the scriptures tell us, that for something to become sanctified, then it must require a blood sacrifice. So there's no doubt in my mind that what ended up happening with the Civil War became that blood sacrifice in sanctifying all life and liberty for all. But anyway, as you know, you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic-based evidence of what we need to do. And what we're going to do today is, like I said, we're going to finish up the Monroe Doctrine, and we're going to go into manifest destiny, which kind of opens this door of white privilege, because they're teaching. I'm going to show you how they, you know, give kids information, and then they make kids conclude that this is all because of white privilege. As you also know, this show is also sponsored by republicreview.org, and our comment line. You like, dislike, something you want to add, you got a question, our comment line, 24 hours a day, 425-270-5416. And so we would like to thank you for tuning in, and we would like to bring it to your attention that please, if you are affiliated in an organization, get that organization to start listening to the show. Get that organization, or get your like-minded friends to be attuned with the fact that regardless of what's going on, regardless of the freak show that is happening in Washington, D.C. right now, And I don't care what the news cycle is. I'm not even going to name any incidents that are occurring. I am here to tell you that those things will continue, and they are marching forward. They're ardently working at dissolving and discarding our Constitution. And the only thing that is going to stop them from the success that they are seeking is if we get our states to stand up. This is why we do these constitutional minutes that we send out to the state legislators every week, and we're hand-feeding them the information that they need so that they can start understanding academically and pointing to the facts that they have all the authority necessary to force the federal government into compliance. So with that, let's just kind of move on. As you know, we are in a constitutional crisis, and I hope those Harrys, you know, the old progressive friend of mine, who I call Harry, I hope those Harrys, you get them to listen as well. You know, they claim to be, you know, strong Americans, loving American sovereignty, but they, for some reason, they voted for Biden. And that was more because they just disliked the man instead of what the man had done. And when I say the man, Trump. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to kind of pick up where we left off with the Monroe Doctrine, and then we'll kind of take a look at the Manifest Destiny. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so the Monroe Doctrine came out of what Monroe basically iterated in his inaugural address. I believe it was his seventh inaugural address. Anyway, what he was basically identifying was the fact that America was to try to maintain its neutrality, but when there was meddling in the affairs of other states where they had no business, America was going to take a different position. And so anyway, this is what he says. The late events in Spain and Portugal show that Europe is still unsettled. Of this important fact, no stronger proof can be adduced than that the Allied powers should have thought it proper on any principle satisfactory to themselves to have interposed by force in the internal concerns of Spain. To what extent such interposition may be carried on the same principle is a question in which all independent powers whose governments differ from theirs are interested, even those most remote, and surely none of them more so than the United States. Our policy in regard to Europe, which was adopted at an early stage of the wars, which have so long agitated that quarter of the globe, nevertheless remains the same, which is not to interfere in the internal concerns of any of its powers. To consider the government de facto as the legitimate government for us, to cultivate friendly relations with it, and to preserve those relations by a frank, firm, and manly policy, excuse me, meeting in all instances the just claims of every power submitting to the injuries from none, but in regard to those continents, circumstances are eminently and conspicuously different. It is impossible that the Allied powers should extend their political system to any portion of their continent without endangering our peace and happiness, nor can anyone believe that our southern brethren, if left to themselves, would adopt it of their own accord. It is equally impossible, therefore, that we should behold such interposition in any form with indifference. If we look to the comparative strengths and the resources of Spain and those new governments and their distance from each other, it must be obvious that she can never subdue them. It is still the true policy of the United States to leave the parties to themselves in hope that other powers will pursue the same course. Basically, he was drawing a line and sending a warning shot to get Europe to quit meddling in the Western Hemisphere. Bottom line, the underlying policy was to be as neutral as possible. But when they started intervening in these new countries that were declaring and on the verge of declaring their independence, then they were basically being forewarned that if these people go down the direction of an independence, you better not come over meddle and try to stop it, because we will get entangled in that. Now, what I want to get, and this is really important that you understand, if you look at how Spain, Portugal, and then the Northern Europe countries in these allies, France, Denmark, and Britain, which created the Americas, the Northern American colonies, there was a stark contrast to the Portuguese and the Spaniards and how they treated the indigenous people, how they basically came in and exploited. And as a point in fact, Spain was probably at the end of their conquest in North America. They undoubtedly had to have been one of the richest nations in the world. But they were brutal. They were tyrannical. They were harsh. I mean, they treated, and what they did is subjecting those folks from Mexico south of us, and same thing with the Portuguese. Well, let's just say, if you look at where they're at today, that has to be something in line with karma. Because look at Spain. I mean, Spain literally took every ounce of gold they could possibly take back to the crown. As a matter of fact, some of the ships that were heading back were sunk, and there's, you know, these sunken treasures that are being found. But the fact of the matter is that Spain was one of the richest nations at this point in time. So what did they do with their money? They squandered it. And because, and this is the just typical what happens to anybody that steals. I had a really good friend of mine. I'm going to go down this because there was a lesson that he learned that I think most people kind of learn this, but sometimes they don't want to say this. That there was a point in time where he stole, when he was younger, he stole somebody's watch. And it was a really nice watch. Don't know who it was or the details of the person, other than the fact that he stole this really nice watch. And he did not have the pleasure of enjoying that watch for very long because something happened to it. And he basically alluded to the fact that he, you know, he recognized that here's something that is his, wasn't his, that he took from somebody else so that he could enjoy it. And the fact was that, one, he never really enjoyed it because when he wore it, he was conscious of somebody possibly saying, hey, whose watch is that? Isn't that so-and-so's? And so he was there was the guilt and the suspicion, as well as the fact that every time a person typically steals or those types of things, the money and the things that they steal, the treasures slip through their hands. And this is because those objects, those articles aren't theirs. They didn't sweat, they didn't toil, want to earn that and to enjoy that. And so when one looks at a nation that does the same thing, then they will suffer the same kind of destiny. When one looks at a movement of the same kind, and I'm going to give you a good example. If one looks at Hungary, and when they went from a democratic type of society as they declared their independence into a communist state, majority of the land that was owned by, you know, and it wasn't a large group of farmers, but it was, you know, a group of farmers. All that land was stripped from them and handed out in small parcels to the minion, to the poor folk, because they were the ones that supported the revolution and supported the fact that, you know, that they became communists. So that was their reward. And within a year or two, Hungary literally started starving because the people that they gave the land to didn't understand how to work the land, how to do seeding, and so forth. And they actually were hit with a famine. And it got so bad that the government took back the property that they stole and they gave it back to some of the farmers. Not all of the property, but some. And the... there's a word for it, the audacity, the arrogance of these people who were given this land as it was stolen from others. They wanted to claim, hey, how dare you steal our land when it wasn't theirs in the first place? But the point in fact is that when you do that and you give that to somebody else, 9 times out of 10, the other person that is the recipient of the theft of land or property of whatever, they don't know, and nor do they care. I have yet to meet a person that when they're given something, like a car or what have you, I've yet to see somebody learn to understand, you know, the importance and what's unique about that car and take care of it. Almost 100% of the time, you give somebody a car, you will find that that person will just drive it into the dirt because it means nothing to them. They take no value in it because they didn't earn it. They don't appreciate what it really took to actually afford to purchase that car. And it could be a really nice car. There are very few people that are so gracious in receiving something that they actually do appreciate what they have. We have lost in our culture that grace or that graciousness in being thankful for what we have and what we're being given. And when I say that in the ultimate sense, because as our nation stops getting on its knees and thanking the divine hand of providence for the many blessings we have, then we are in that exact same position where the great gifts that we've been given, such as the Constitution and our liberty, are things because we didn't fight for it. It was just given to us. And this is why these things are slipping through our hands, because nobody understands, you know, what these things mean, how they operate, how they work. This is why we on this show focus on these historical facts so that you can understand what really went into creating this paradigm of this constitutional republic. Okay? And there is probably no more important lesson, because once you understand what it took, it makes it easier for us to defend what little we have and take back what we've lost. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so what we want to do is we want to kind of talk about manifest destiny and how this has now been perverted, because every nation that developed itself, every nation that created a boundary, it didn't happen just because, you know, a guy woke up and said, I'm going to create a boundary and take over. That didn't happen that way. And as a matter of fact, there, in each case, there have been driving factors to create one, a nation, and or a movement that then created a nation, and an idea, an ideology, and so forth. And I mean, just read the Bible and how Israel became created as a nation. When one looks at the birth of a nation, one actually begins to understand that this nation is kind of an organizational thing that goes through mergers and acquisitions and acquiring land and so forth. The reason why Germany was caught in the problems that it had more to do with its bad government, in its abandonment of what I will call its mercantile and or free market system of the 1800s and embrace socialism under Otto von Bismarck than anything else, because as it destituted itself by creating Social Security, early retirement, and the entitlement mentality, because you got to remember, here, Germany, the center of the education point for the epoch of communism, was, you know, still practicing the old world mercantile slash free market system. And so Otto von Bismarck instituted socialism, and it decimated Germany so badly that as they abandoned socialism, Germany started actually going out and taking agricultural land from other states within Europe to say, hey, you know, we need more food because we've got starving Germans here and we can't afford to pay it because we bankrupted ourselves. That was the cause of the First World War, the outcome of failure of Social Security. Now, or the socialism that was instituted by Britain, or not by Britain, by Otto von Bismarck, my bad. But the point I'm trying to prove here is that when countries make stupid mistakes, it sends them down a path of consequences that forces them into real problems. And so as we've been, as a nation, abandoning our Constitution and moving towards entitlement, we're on that same collision course. But we have the opportunity, because unlike Germany and unlike any other nation, they did not have a U.S. Constitution that was put in fashion as a compact where the stake owners, the parties to that compact are the states, not the government itself. It's the state governments. Anyway, so as you can see, this whole failure of socialism not only just caused World War I, but it also caused World War II. Because the outcome of World War I was another devastation to Germany, where they couldn't even, you know, afford to buy firewood because their cash was worth nothing. It was cheaper to burn their money than it was to burn firewood. And so it drove them down the needs and the necessity of a rebirth, and that rebirth was under, again, another flag of socialism and nationalism that was actually competitive and beating out communism, who had actually got its birth in Russia, and they were beating out Russia. They were becoming a very strong machine, and it became a real threat to the global communist movement. I mean, Hitler really just, he threatened not just the stability of the world, but he threatened the managed and manipulated development of communism throughout the world. Because the plan was that communism would slowly be adopted and accepted by people. Well, Hitler wasn't going to have any of that. Hitler wanted to basically put his form of communism on this, you know, on the burner and get it to a boil quickly. So he started conquering, and the rest is history. But we still have that slow boiling the frog, communism, and we're coming to a boil here in America. Anyway, manifest destiny. This was a term coined by John L. O'Sullivan, the editor of a magazine that served as an organ for the Democratic Party and of a partisan newspaper. First wrote of, quote, manifest destiny, close quote, in 1845. But at the time, he did not think the words profound. Rather than being coined, the phrase was buried halfway through the third paragraph of a long essay in the July-August issue of the United States Magazine. and Democratic Review on the necessity of annexing Texas and the inevitability of American expansion. So O'Sullivan was protesting European meddling in American affairs. And why? Because the Monroe Doctrine basically said that, we needed to stand up against those things, especially by France and England, which he said were acting, quote, for the avowed object of thwarting our policy and hampering our power, limiting our greatness, and checking the fulfillment of our manifest destiny to overspread the continent allotted by Providence for the free development of our yearly multiplying millions. Discussing the dispute with Great Britain over the Oregon country, O'Sullivan again cited the claim to, quote, the right of our manifest destiny to overspread and to possess the whole of the continent which Providence has given us for the development of the great experiment of liberty and federated self-government entrusted to us. Nice words. I mean, it kind of makes sense. But you remember, the context today of Manifest Destiny is one of white privilege. Historians have emphasized that, quote, Manifest Destiny, close quote, was a contested concept. Democrats endorsed the idea, but many prominent Americans, such as Abraham Lincoln, Ulysses S. Grant, and most Whigs, rejected it. Historian Daniel Walker Howe writes, quote, American imperialism did not represent an American consensus. It provoked bitter dissent within the national polity or within the national government. And so the question that actually goes out as this progressive educational center teaches people about, you know, manifest destiny. Now, I want you to understand, who were we in conflict with when we were basically standing up and protecting these new nations in the North Americans, or the North American continents, okay? Or I should say North America and South America, the Western Hemisphere. Who was it that we were actually standing up against and protecting these other nations? It was white Europe, wasn't it? Interesting, right? So, what was our situation with Britain, Spain, France, and Mexico? Okay, so we actually supported Mexico in their independence, and we actually offered Mexico to become a state in the United States. Mexico refused because they didn't want, because of the Missouri Compromise, they did not want to be inflicted with the abomination of slavery. Now, Mexico was a very harsh, because of the way the Spaniards had governed and so forth, they didn't understand civility as the British colonies did. But when we stood up against Spain and protecting Mexico as well as the other countries to the south, then we were actually standing up to the Europeans and the Western society in meddling in the Western Hemisphere. Mexico became a very volatile region since their independence. And as a matter of fact, most people don't know, they do know that we purchased a small strip of land in, I think it was Arizona, New Mexico area. But most people don't know that we actually had to pay for that twice. Santa Anna had got us to pay for it once to help fund his revolution, but it didn't work out so well. So he said, well, we're going to have to take that back, even though we paid for it, because his revolution didn't work out, unless we wanted to pay for it again and fund his, you know, second try of his revolution. And I'm giving you the cliff notes. But bottom line, Mexico was very volatile. And it was volatile because of how they were indoctrinated, or because of how they were brought up into governing. And that was what, you know, you kind of follow those who have been governing you, and you go right into their exact same pitfalls and problems. Anyway, will be commenting more on this and how America kind of went down that same path and we actually made a turn away from it. We'll be right back after this.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so we can't really talk about manifest destiny without talking about the laws of nations. The laws of nations was a European law that had evolved over time that basically dictated how nations, if they were in conquest, how the nation in conquest had to act and behave. And so when one looks at the difference or the differences of how these different nations acted and behaved in their conquest, such as Russia, Russia had conquests that went out towards China. There were conquests from Holland, France, all these European nations. As a matter of fact, even further before the Western society, Egypt and Rome and some of the older empires, they had their conquests as well. And so as society on this earth developed and as Western society came to be, they wanted to be a law of nations. And so they embraced these concepts of laws of nations so that conquering nations would behave a certain way to ensure the dignity and fair treatment of indigenous people that were at a disadvantage. Because, as you know, when these Western societies started going into the Western Hemisphere, they had a significant advantage by having guns and cannons and that type of technology because it was a more advanced society. Well, anyway, when one looks at how Western society actually came into the Northern or the Western Hemisphere and started taking for themselves these rich, fertile lands, especially South America and Central America, North America was kind of left because there was really no culture. There was not a lot of thriving people. It was possibly just too cold. But nevertheless, when Spain and Portugal took dominion, I am telling you that they were ruthless. The only reason any tribe of indigenous people maintained its identity while the Spain and Portuguese were pretty much conquering these lands was more due to the fact that it was one either too hard for them to get to. There was no value of them going into that area, into the deep jungles of the Amazon or what have you. But everywhere where there were main populations and societies, those populations were conquered and they were basically raped and pillaged and created a new race that the indigenous people actually were morphed into. I guess the best word for it is half-breeds between the Spaniards and the Indians, which now we call Mexicans. Now, I'm saying this because when we look at what America did, Britain, and then when the American Revolution moved forward, we still governed by the laws of nations. As a matter of fact, the laws of nations is cited in the Constitution that the United States would have jurisdiction over any laws committed against the laws of nations. And so what ended up happening was instead of treating Indians the way the Europeans were treating them, what we ended up doing was we tried to, in our first 20, 30 years, we actually tried to bring them in and assimilate Indians into our society. We weren't driving them east, or I should say westward. That didn't happen until Andrew Jackson. And I've talked about that. But the fact of the matter is that it was our intent to be inclusive and to be fair and just. Over time, there were bad players. So I'm not excusing America for the bad treatment of the Native Americans, but I am saying that there is a huge contrast between how Spain and Portugal treated the indigenous people compared to the other European conquest that was basically taken over by America and Canada. And the reason why we actually still have these historical cultures today is because of that just and fair treatment. Whether you liked it or not, at least there was efforts in respecting those things. Anyway, and let's be clear here. If you look at how the indigenous people, before Western society came here, they were constantly warring with each other. They had alliances, just like the rest of the world. It's just that they never developed. And I will tell you this, that had the people of the North Americas developed themselves to a point where they could get on ships and project power and they could go to Europe, I believe that they would have inflicted savage brutality upon Europe if they had that ability to project themselves. And things would have been a lot different. But they were not capable, for one reason or another, they were not capable of evolving. As a matter of fact, people wonder why the tribes in North America didn't have a written language. It was just amazing how they never evolved to that point, to how an earlier culture that actually had a written language and how they lost that. So anyway, I don't want to get too deep into all of this, but just so you understand, even though governments and when people break away in revolution, they tend to repeat the kind of government they had. One would look at America that we would have been prone to repeating monarchy. However, the desire, the innate desire within this batch of people to be free was so much more powerful. So manifest destiny is the revisionist or teaching. They basically teach that manifest destiny was the idea that white Americans were divinely ordained to settle the entire continent of North America. Well, there's no proof of this. And as a matter of fact, there was the preservation of creating reservations or Indian or giving them the land. We're not going to use it, and then we go back on that. But the fact of the matter is, prior to that, we were trying to assimilate under George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson wrote down and documented the language of over 25 tribes of North America. All of that work he did was destroyed when two thieves stole his chests when his ship was going from D.C. down the Potomac down to Norfolk so that it could be shipped to Monticello. Those chests were basically taken at the port of Norfolk, and the contents of all of his hard work went into the bay and was damaged. And they ended up catching these two guys, and they were hanged for the theft of those chests. Capital punishment. Those guys were put to death because of what they did. Well, as a society, that may seem really brutal, but it was a very civil society, and that type of behavior was not acceptable. They hanged people that stole horses. What do we do with car thieves today? Slap them on the wrist and they're back out on the street. Are you kidding? There are reasons why we have real societal problems, but let me focus on Manifest Destiny. The ideology of Manifest Destiny inspired a variety. Now, this is, again, revisionist thinking, and this is how they go down this. The ideology of Manifest Destiny inspired a variety of measures designed to remove or destroy the native population. U.S. President James Polk is the leader most associated with Manifest Destiny. Manifest Destiny inflamed sectional tensions that ultimately led to the Civil War. Literal revisionist, and if you understand what the North was doing politically for five, six decades of the abolitionist movement and trying to end slavery, that didn't seem to me like propelling white dominance. And they knew over time that they would overcome what was going on in the South. That was the priority. Anyway, literal revisionist questions are this. What do you think Polk went to war with? Why do you think Polk went to war with Mexico but negotiated with Great Britain? Well, there was a big difference. New Mexico had tried to and actually took Texas and tried to take land from us after we had basically purchased some of that stuff. They were very volatile. They didn't, just like our early war with Britain didn't honor its treaty. Mexico felt the same way. They were not very trustworthy. There was a reason why we actually behaved the way we did, because we had history. Next question, what sorts of policies were justified in the name of Manifest Destiny? Trying to get people to think of, oh, well, white privilege and, you know, their Christian heritage. What were the most consequential outcomes of the ideology of Manifest Destiny? And the bottom line is racism. What they're trying to teach is the ideology that did not exist, that there were people that moved here because they were white and they wanted to make it white. Remember, it was Britain who made slavery what it was in America for a very manipulative purpose, and Thomas Jefferson called King George out for that. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.